Good evening, folks. QSP, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. The set meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1635, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, October the 28th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, October the 29th, at 0100. This is a directed net. All calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM.
DL-123.
Thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and we're on the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and both of those machines have a PL tone of 123.0, and then there's also links to the 146.7 repeater downtown, and it's network repeaters, and then when the connections are working, there's the AMSAT DMR Talk Group 98006, YSF Fusion 11689, the All-Star node is 572-580, and there's always Echo Link, and that's over at Star AMSAT Star. Okay, I will now take any check-ins. Okay, good evening, Herbert. KD5PQJ, you got a good signal there, and over in West Houston. Now, you got anybody else out there? Okay, we're going to start here with a little bit of info from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Of course, they do have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. here local at a restaurant, and then they have a meeting on Zoom at 8 p.m., and that's, of course, on the Internet, and that's at k5wh/zoom, and anybody can join into that and find out goings-on there with Walter and the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. So we appreciate Walter making that available. And we've also got an update here on the W5BSA balloon, the status for the Jamboree on the Air balloon there, launched a couple weeks ago, and it's still flying high at over 45,000 feet, just past the very eastern southern edge of the Mediterranean, and looks like its last report was in Syria. So it's heading to basically the northeast, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. So appreciate that update there coming from Walter and from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net, and anybody can call and check into the net by making a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can also send an APRS message, and that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy's like to say. Oh, there goes the phone line. And then there's that email, it's wv5y@comcast.net. Got a check-in there off the landline quickly from Vern, W0RCR, out there in Wentzville, Missouri. So we appreciate him checking in. Of course, thanks to him. You can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, and that's full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band, especially this time of the year, as 160 gets louder and louder and more active.
W5BSA repeater.
Jumping over here, the AMSAT News Service Bulletin, and this is a News Service Bulletin number 299 from Mark Johns, who's our editor this week, K0JM. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. And to join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, looks like Sprint's just getting here. We got a little bit of sound of wind, the things banging against the windows. So right now the wind has picked up a whole bunch and the temperatures are fixing to fall. So it's going to finally not feel like summer around here anymore. So that'll be a good thing. At the annual general meeting of AMSAT members held as part of the AMSAT Symposium in Phoenix, Arizona last weekend, newly elected AMSAT President Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, outlined some future directions for the organization, noting that membership in organizations and volunteer associations of all types has been declining across the board in all areas of society. Glassbrenner suggested a two-pronged approach. Firstly, incentive-wise, would be to reduce the cost per member. AMSAT has already made major steps in that direction by closing the office and changing to an all-volunteer administration. Especially after Martha left and retired and they didn't replace her, and also by changing the AMSAT Journal from print to a digital publication. The organization should seek more opportunities to economize. Secondly, they'd like to increase membership by creating a strategy to actively seek and invite new hams. The board has just approved a free student membership to bring young hams into the organization, reinstating a college activity night on the satellites, an AMSAT youth net, and publicizing youth satellite activities are priorities. Another possibility might be a two-tiered membership structure with a low-fee introductory membership. Glassbrenner also noted that government budget cuts have caused NASA to eliminate the CubeSat Launch Initiative Program, the CSLI, which provided free launch opportunities to educational projects. AMSAT has benefited from CSLI, but has also purchased commercial launches in the past. He indicated that AMSAT should not wait to see if CSLI is reinstated or replaced with a similar program but that the organization should move forward to fund commercial launches for Golf T and Fox Plus satellites that are nearing readiness in the coming months. Another challenge facing AMSAT is that it is becoming increasingly difficult to operate in low Earth orbit, or LEO. While orbital debris regulations forbid launches to higher orbits without meeting stringent technical requirements for deorbiting, reentry devices are largely unavailable or unproven. The GOLF program is meant to address this, but launches to higher orbits are also difficult to find. Future rules may mandate propulsion for collision avoidance in low Earth orbit.
DL-123.
A strategy to meet these orbital challenges is to focus on developing amateur radio payloads that can fly on other satellites. The Italian GreenCube satellite, IO-117, was an example. To take advantage of these opportunities, AMSAT engineers must focus on developing payloads as a series rather than as single projects so that units are on the shelf and available on short notice. The SDR Gen 2 transfer board, an updated version of the units flown on HuskySat and MESAT-1, is a major step in this direction, as is the updated PACSAT board that is under development. The GOLF and FOX Plus programs are also being crafted to create satellites in a series with iterative improvements and an up-tempo launch cadence. Finally, Glass-Britter calls for strengthening international collaborations with other AMSAT organizations around the world, as well as establishing mechanisms for strategic planning at the board of directors level. His address was received enthusiastically by those in attendance. Okay, we want to thank Mark Johns, K0JM, News Service Senior Editor, for that information. This is Marty, WZ5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, the AmSat removed before flight key tags are available, and yes, they are the real thing, and they're lovely. Red, bright red with white lettering embroidered. It has the logo, AMSAT, and your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. It does include first class postage for those in the United States, but it is only available, for those in the United States. You can order today at www.amsat.org/product/AMSAT-remove-before-flight-keychain. All right, for those folks who did not, like myself, actually managed to make it out to Phoenix, but was interested in seeing some of those presentations, well, the symposium videos are available on YouTube. Video of presentations at the 2025 AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, USA, are now available on the AMSAT's YouTube channel. We got these links for you here for Friday, October 17th. You go over to youtube.com/watch?V=0AC9_UH2YS4 And then for Saturday, October the 18th, you go to www.youtube.com/watch?v=WOK9CHCZ9FW. And of course, those links are available there from amsatnet.com. Gets those things posted, so we appreciate him doing that for us. And there are embedded hyperlinks provided for direct access to the beginning of each presentation. Okay, so you can look on the AMSAT News Service bulletin, which is available on the AMSAT.org there on the front page. And they do have the schedule and the links. So we have the, looks like the AMSAT President Welcome and the Introduction and Announcements. They sort of skipped over, but then there's links starting at 1:15 p.m. For KJ7ILB's presentation, and then all the ones after that. Okay, looks like they just actually kind of have links in a different place there. For the introduction announcements, there's a link for Robert Bankston, and then the outgoing president, KE4AL, and then the AMSAT President Welcome, there's a link for Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, the incoming president, and then, of course, that Cameron Castillo, the first presentation is on the Ascent Team Propulsion, and then there's Jim McCullers, WA4CWI, on Oscar to Off-Tracks, Andrew Robinson, KA3WDW, Fox Plus Mechanical Layout and Design, Emer Thor Sverenson, WA1ANT, has extending the command and control for golf. Of course, we all know golf is greater inspiration there for aspirations for AMSAT, a greater orbit, a larger footprint. So, hoping to have some series of satellites going up a little higher than low Earth orbit and providing more area there that communications can be held in. Okay, then there's a link for Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, and his stock on ARIS. Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, with the Youth Initiative, and then Jim White, WB0E, with ARDC, ARDC. And then the Saturdays group, we've got Alan Johnson, KU2Y, the CubeSat Sim Update and Demonstration. Augusta Bose, KJ5MSH, has the CubeSat Sim UT Dallas Workshop Reflections. Okay, then we've got Lowell Ryan, W7DGP, with Building the CubeSat Sim. And Frederick Robb, KK6NOW, Bridging Orbit and Classroom, and SatNog to CubeSat Sim. Okay, then there's two presentations from Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, Telemetry for Fox Plus and Gulf South CubeSats, and then a new use for Fox and MESAT-1 Whole Orbit Data Algorithm. Okay, then Kipton Moravec, his presentation is on Golf T, the Electrical Power Supply, the EPS. And then Jerry Buxton in 0JY, is President of Engineering there, has Golf T Update. And then Mike Moore, K4MVM, has the Fox Plus update, Then Jerry Buxton in 0JY will be talking about future systems. So they got that presentation. And then finally, the presentation from our Drew Glassquitter, KO4MA, the president of the annual general meeting. We want to thank David Vine, WA1EAW, AMSAT Director of Public Relations, for that information. So that makes it real easy. You don't even have to do any searching on YouTube. You just click right on all these links. Okay, is AO7 still the oldest satellite? This is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Well, we'll find out about that here in just a second, but we're going to take a quick standby since we are just a little past 15 after the hour. So we're going to take a look around and we're going to see who we've got here that's been checking into the net.
DL-123.
Okay, we want to say good evening to Charlie, K5ENG. He's located over there in West Houston. And then, let's see, we've got Dale, WD0AKO, over there in Moorhead, Minnesota. Of course, he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, so we appreciate him doing that for us. We have had to use it once or twice. And then Vern, WA0RCR, of course, we just heard from on the phone line there. And, of course, thanks to him, you get to hear iNet again on the top band on 1860 kilohertz, full carrier AM at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. Okay, we also want to say hello to Kai in 6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California. And he's one of our podcast listeners who calls and checks in. Okay, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and Rachie's over there usually listening too, so hello to her as well. We have Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee in Z9T, Bob, K8WX, and WAQHB. Okay, from EchoLink, we've got Mitch up there in Jackson, Minnesota, 80HJ. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, there is a Wednesday night AMSATnet that people can listen to and check in on. And that is on DMR, so that's a digital net, and that's over on the AMSAT Digital DMR Talk Group of 98006, or YSF Fusion, it's 11689, and of course that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays, and they especially like to discuss roving, and people that are going to be making grids available on satellites, and all that kind of good stuff. So, especially if you're going to be doing any of that, be sure and check into the Wednesday night net and let Mitch know. Okay, hello to Andrew, Casey. Hi, he's down there in Galveston, and hope he's doing good down there this evening. Of course, I'm sure that when the front gets down there and the wind starts rattling everything, and it's going to be a big change for those folks. We have Steve, K5YFC, good evening to him. And then Bruce, KK5DO, he's over there in Roman Forest, and he does have those URLs posted. So you can go over to AmSatNet.com and click on the links if you'd like to follow along with any of the URLs. And hello to Damien, AG9P. He's out there in Oconto, Wisconsin. And he's been listening and checking into our net for many years now. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Back to the question that we're going to find out the answer to. Is AO7 still the oldest satellite? AmSat Oscar 7, or AO7, was the second Phase 2 amateur radio satellite constructed by the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, or AmSat. It was launched into low Earth orbit on November the 15th, 1974, and remained operational until a battery failure in 1981. After 21 years of apparent silence, the satellite was heard again on June the 1st, 2002, 27 years after launch, and it continues to be used by amateurs daily, even now. For a couple decades, AmSat has been able to proudly boast that this bird is the oldest operating satellite in space. However, that record has been challenged. After 47 years of silence, LES-1, or LES-1, a satellite launched by the U.S. Air Force and MIT's Lincoln Laboratory in 1965, began transmitting again. Its signals, LES-1 signals, were detected by Phil Williams, G3YPQ, from North Cornwall in southwest England on the 18th of December 2012, verified by other members of HERSAT group, Flavio A. B. Arcangelo, PY2ZX, in Brazil on the 22nd of December 2012, and Matthias Bopp, DB1 US in Germany on the 27th of December 2012. According to Williams, LES-1 was determined to be tumbling with a rotation rate of once every 4 seconds, as determined by distinctive fading of the signals. It is possible that after 47 years, the batteries failed in a manner that allows them to carry charge directly through to the transmitter on 237 MHz, allowing the satellite to resume transmissions when it is in sunlight. Just like what happened with AO7. The satellite continues to be operational as tracked by the SatNOGS network. And ANS thanks Daily Galaxy for that information. And you can read the full article Bruce has the link over there at AmSatNet.com, but it's at dailygalaxy.com/2025/10/lost-FOR-50-years-zombie-satellite-signals. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSat Net. 2025 AmSat President's Club coins are here and available. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. You can help support the Golf and Fox Plus missions. Join the AmSat President's Club today. Help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, we're just about here at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. So any other check-ins to the Houston AmSat Net, come now. claim, amateur radio receiver reveals global satellite privacy issue. Imagine that you can buy a device for a few hundred dollars and listen in on private conversations, military negotiations, and even intercept important commands for power systems around the world. This is not a scene from a spy movie, but harsh reality. The vulnerability was accidentally discovered by researchers from the University of California and the University of Maryland. For 3 years, they listened in on secret military and private communications. The result was astonishing. Almost half of all satellite transmissions were completely unencrypted. Analysis of the intercepted traffic showed that the following was transmitted over the open airwaves. Private phone calls and SMS messages from T-Mobile customers. Wi-Fi data from airplanes. Critical commands for managing power grids and oil platforms. Military and police reports revealing troop locations and details of secret missions.
TL-123.
Governments and corporations rely on these systems, considering them to be reliably secure. In fact, the risks are much more serious than just a breach of confidentiality. This vulnerability can be used as a weapon to track troop movements, sabotage vital infrastructure, and steal data on a massive scale. The most disastrous aspect is that scientists analyzed only 15% of the total traffic, meaning that the actual scale of the problem could be much greater. We want to thank E. Mike McCardo, AAAEM, and Ivan Krinko of Universe Space Tech for the above information, for that information. And we got the full article. You can read it over at universemagazine.com/en/amateur-radio-receiver-reveals-global-satellite-communications-disaster. Some information there, and I know there was more information there from one of the reports there at the symposium, but we still have coming here for the general public in 2025 is the SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. It will have 144 megahertz through 6 gigahertz continuous coverage. Direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LF, and C-band operations. There will also be up conversion to 5 and dime capability, which is a shortcut for saying 5 gigahertz and 10 gigahertz as well. Okay, you're going to be able to do all modes with this transverter. That's like CW, single sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, SSTV, ATV, etc. And the minimum downlink rate is 1 mega slice per second or mega scan per second. And it's built to fly on a Fox Plus and the Golf missions. So we should find out more information and will become interested when that becomes publicly available, and that comes from the AMSAT engineers that keep amateur radio in space and the ASCENT program, the Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology. right. We will look forward to the announcement when that thing is finally available. Okay, we've got some changes. It looks like there's a few changes here to the AMSAT TLE distribution for October the 24th, 2025. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KIPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So this is the file that you download every week and update your satellite tracking program, and puts all the satellites in the right locations. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites, and TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. You can find those new bulletin files available over on AMSAT, and they are posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites as well. So you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. I know AMSAT has become kind of a good source there for the Keplerian element sets, because Celestrek finally went away and they quit carrying them over there. Okay, the following satellites have been removed from this week's AMSAT TLE distribution. You've got NOAA 15, NORAD Catalog ID 25338, Spacecraft decommissioned the 19th of August, 2025. We've got NOAA 19, NORAD Catalog ID 33591, Spacecraft decommissioned the 13th of August, 2025. UPMSAT 2, NORAD Catalog ID 46276, decayed from orbit on or about 11th of October, 2025. Okay, then we've got LEDSAT, or LEDSAT, NORAD Catalog ID 49069, decayed from orbit on or about the 15th of October. CAS-4A and CAS-4B, NORAD Catalog ID 42761 and 42759, decayed from orbit on or about the 9th of October, 2025, and the 14th of October, 2025. Alright, we do have some new ones. The following satellites have been added to this week's AMSAT TLE distribution, and that's BOTAN, NORAD Catalog ID 659, which is on 437.379 MHz, GHS-01 satellite, NORAD Catalog ID 65733, it's on 437.090 MHz. Alright, we've got Dragonfly, NORAD Catalog ID 65729 on 437.375 MHz, and RSP-03, NORAD Catalog ID 65732 on 437.050 MHz. And we want to say thanks to Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. This is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AMSATnet. The Russian cosmonauts on the ISS conducted a spacewalk on the outside. Two Russian cosmonauts are back inside the International Space Station, the ISS, after conducting a spacewalk to install a semiconductor materials experiment. as well as retrieve and jettison a no longer needed camera from the exterior of the orbiting complex. The Expedition 73 crew is from three different space agencies. We've got Mike Fink and Zena Cardman from NASA, Roscosmos astronaut Oleg Platonov, and there's NASA astronaut Johnny Kim, Roscosmos cosmonauts Sergei Rykunov and Alexei Zubritsky, and from Japan, JAXA, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, we have astronaut Kamiya Kui. And we want to say thanks to NASA for letting us know about those folks. Expedition 73 Commander Sergei Rykunov and Flight Engineer Alexei Zubritsky, both with Russia's Federal Space Corporation Roscosmos, mark the end of their first extra vehicle activity, or their EVA, together. Ryzakov and Zubritsky installed the drum-shaped unit, ran power cables, and mounted a swappable cassette. The experiment is intended to demonstrate the ability to produce very thin materials, too thin to be made reliably on Earth, that can go from the microgravity environment of outer space to being used in semiconductors.
This is the W5BSA repeater. BL-123.
And this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston Amtrak Net. Their primary task completed, Ryzakov and Zubritsky then made their way to the Zvezda service module to remove and dispose of a high-definition television system that was originally a part of a Canadian commercial payload. Zubritsky then stood at the end of the European robotic arm and tossed the camera overboard toward the rear of the space station, ensuring that it would not come back in contact with the outpost. And we want to say thanks to space.com for that information. And you can read the full article. We've got it, thanks to Bruce, at amsatnet.com, but it's over at bit.ly/4NEPOWH. Okay, amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. And we've got a recently completed contact, the Colegio de Cultura Popular in Bogota, Colombia, had contact with Telebridge via AB10C. The call sign scheduled to be NA1SS. Crew member was Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN. The heiress mentor was VE6JBJ. And the contact was 10-23-2025, 13-46-10 UTC. And they had a 63 degree maximum elevation. The 18th Primary School of Larissa in Larissa, Greece, had a Telebridge via K6DUE. They contacted the ISS as NA1SS, spoke to crew member Mike Fink, KE5AIT. The AS mentor was IK0WGF, and the contact was successful on Friday, 10-24-2025 at 08-04-47 UTC with a 33 degree maximum elevation. Terre Haute Children's Museum in Terre Haute, Indiana, they had a contact direct via W9UUU. The ISS call sign scheduled was NA1SS, and they spoke with crew member Jonathan Johnny Kim, KJ5HKP. The AS mentor was KD8COJ. Okay, this contact was completed on 10/25/2025 at 1345 UTC. They had a 52 degree maximum elevation. And they had a live stream that you could find over at live.aris.org. Okay, so we've got some upcoming contacts. We've got the Majeski Dom Kofteri with Kolo, abbreviated MDK, in Kolo, Poland. Telebridge via AB10C, NA1SS is the call sign scheduled to be used on the ISS. The crew member will be Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN. The AS mentor is ST3QFE. The contact is a go for Wednesday, 10/29/2025, 10/36/06 UTC, with a 49 degree maximum elevation. The Australian Air League in Adelaide, South Australia, had a telebridge via VK4ISS, and they spoke with ISS call sign NA1SS with Mike Fink, KE5AIT. The AS mentor was VK4KHZ, and the contact Friday, 10/31/2025 at 9:59:01 UTC, and they'll have a 39 degree maximum elevation. Okay, then finally we have the QTEC conference, the Wavell State High School in Wavell Heights, Queensland, Australia. Telebridge via VK4ISS. ISS call sign is scheduled to be NA1SS. They'll speak with crew member Jonathan Johnny Kim, KJ5HKP. The AS mentor is VK4KHZ. The contact will be Saturday, 11/1/2025 at 09:10:47 UTC, out of a lovely high 86 degree maximum elevation. Okay, many times a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but we at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. And as always, if there is an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And an example of that will be powering off on October the 28th, 10:15 UTC, and then powering back on October the 29th at 09:05 UTC. Okay, the crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It is on 145.990 MHz up when you transmit with a peel tone of 67, and then you listen on the downlink, and that's on 437.800 MHz down. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is just pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You may end up talking to one of them. Packet operations continue to be active, and they're on 145.825 MHz up and down, and the ham TV is configured, and it's on 2395.00 MHz, or just under 2.4 GHz. Okay, be sure to note that all the times here that we list are approximate. we don't know where you are exactly, so it's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time. And the latest information on the operation mode for the International Space Station can be found at www.ars.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use on ISS is over at www.ars.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS Operation Team mentors, for that information. Hey, do you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAC car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And when you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is over at www.zazzle.com/store/AMSAT_gear. Once again, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT.net for RID. And the AMSAT Ambassador activities are, of course, what AMSAT ambassadors do. They provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And oftentimes they can provide some of that cool trinkets there that AMSAT sells, so you can look out for some of those too as well sometimes. AMSAT Clint Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, writes, AMSAT ambassadors spread the word on amateur satellites worldwide. If we're not local to your club or convention, we'll room a show for you. An email I recently received.
DL-123.
Quote, Clint, I wanted to thank you for your presentation. Our audience, both in person and via Zoom, were all very enthusiastic about both the content and the unique way that you presented it. While I had heard about the personalization used in your presentation, you really have to see it to appreciate it. I especially like how you threw in pictures from our club website and addressed us personally. I was also appreciative of how you talked about the things you heard during our opening discussion, such as our recent HF antenna build, and how you gave the club officers kudos for working with the club. We tell our members that the club officers are only the facilitators, that they are the heart and soul. Once again, thank you for the great presentation. I hope you keep doing this, as it shows great amateur radio spirit and a dedication to the hobby that is sorely needed. Regards, David Chapman, W9DPY, VP of Williamson County. All right, if you'd like to get praise and kudos here, what Clint is getting, well, you might be interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador. AMSAT ambassadors do provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables, club meetings, ham fest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So you can find out more info on becoming one by going over to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the East NamSatNet. And once again, thanks to Bruce, KK5DO, the AmSat awards guy and board member. You can get awards and certificates for making satellite contacts, and Bruce has the information on how you do that, and it's posted at our website at amsatnet.com. And then he's got more of that over at amsat.org. And you can also find out the frequencies of the satellites and the status of whether they're operational or not operational. And then there's information about next year's symposium when that rolls around, and the store where you can even buy satellite antennas. So all that's right over at www.amsat.org. And, you know, we heard a report just a week or two ago that they had gotten more N-squared antennas there in stock. So you do get a little bit of a discount there when you buy through AmSat. So get your low Earth orbit N-squared antennas. You know, those are the good ones. Okay, we've got satellite shorts from all over. AmSat is pleased to announce two new recipients of the prestigious Gridmaster Award. Jean-Pierre Plessis, KQ4DO, earned Gridmaster Award number 75 on October 6, 2025, and Dwight Fletcher, N1RCN, became recipient number 76 on the same date. The Gridmaster Award is presented to amateur radio operators who confirm all 488 maiden head grid squares in the continental United States via satellite, a milestone that requires years of persistence and dedication. This accomplishment highlights both the operating skill of the awardees and the vital role of portable operators who activate rare grids. Only a very small group of amateurs have achieved this dedication, making it one of the highest honors in satellite operating. And I want to say congratulations to Jean-Pierre and Dwight on their outstanding achievements. And the AmSat News Service thanks Bruce Page, KK5BO, AmSat Director in Contests and Awards, for that information. Okay, AmSat UK is 50 years old. To celebrate, they will use the call sign GB50AUK from the 1st to the 28th of November 2025 on the satellites. QSLs via EQSL and QO100DX Club at QRZ.com and Logbook of the World are pending. And you can thank David Johnson, G4DPZ, Honorary Secretary of AmSat UK, for that information. A giant radio telescope in Crimea, used in the past to support missions to Mars and Venus and attempt to contact alien civilizations, has been destroyed in a drone attack. Ukrainian Defense Forces took down the 230-foot or 70-meter antenna dish to prevent Russian forces from using it to guide attacks on its territory. The RT-70 radio telescope has been under Russian control since the annexation of the Crimean Peninsula in 2014. According to Defense Express, Russians carry out major upgrades to the 5,000 metric ton structure to use it for military communications. ANS thanks space.com for that information, and you can read that full article at space.com/astronomy/drone-destroyed-RT-70-radio-telescope-Crimea. you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one half the standard yearly rate. That's not right. They still need to change that. It's now free. Free, free, free. Primary school students are now get membership for free. Post-secondary school students enrolled in at least any time status will be eligible for free. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. And, of course, those free student memberships go all the way up to 25 years old. And you can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that's from this week's AMS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM, mjohns@amsat.org. You didn't change that bottom part. He only gets a B for this week. Okay, well, we look forward to catching everybody next week, so stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. We'll catch everybody next week. From Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we will say 73 for this week, and if we have time, maybe next week, we'll talk about NASA's X-59 QSST, the Conductor Bear maiden flight today.